This pulpit is massive. Amen. All right. Boy, I tell you, so you join me, if you will, this evening there in the book of Luke. And while you're going there, I just want to express my thanks to Pastor Parsons and, of course, Brother Tyler. Thank a lot of him and Miss Hannah. I've known them for several years when he was on staff at Pine Bluff Baptist. Thank the Lord for them and their friendship. Got a chance to meet some new people, some new men of God, and make some friendships and connections. And I will say this, Pastor, y'all's hospitality has been just amazing today. Boy, the folks, you've been welcoming so well to us, and I just thank the Lord for you today. You have, like any pastor should, you do what you do to try to be a blessing to people. But I'll tell you what, I've gotten the blessing today. You have blessed this pastor's heart, seeing all these young preacher men and ladies that are willing to serve the Lord, encourages my heart. I know people talk about it being bleak times, and just God's not working, or kids aren't listening, or they're not obeying the Lord's call. And I can say when I leave tonight that that is not true, because God is still working here. Amen. He's working in Haines City. He's working in Okeechobee. He's working in Florida. He's still working because God's still on the throne. And so I've been encouraged immensely today while we have been here with my family, Rachel, with my wife, Rachel, my kids, Tychus, Aliana, and Adelie. And we have been encouraged, and we just praise the Lord for you today. So we are in Luke 24 tonight. We'll be in Luke 24. Let me see here. Make sure that I am... Okay, there we go. Now I'm on. Sorry about that. It even tells me on here to turn it on, but I don't notice it. Amen. All right, so Luke 24, and we will start reading in verse 13. Luke 24, in verse 13. The Word of God says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful, God, for what you have done this week. And I pray, Father, that you would continue a work tonight. Hide me behind the cross. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take your word and marinate it on the hearts of those that are here tonight, and that we would purpose to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. I pray that we would allow you to work in us, that you may work through us. Oh God, I just pray that the words that are spoken tonight would be Holy Spirit-led. And we're praying that through it all, at the end of it all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, would be magnified and lifted up. We ask all this in his precious name. Amen. I've already this morning had the pleasure of preaching in chapel, and what a joy that was, seeing all those young people. I did mention this morning that I would be, the tonight's message would kind of piggyback off of this morning's message, so I don't want to necessarily rehash it all, but I think it'd do well as I figure about continuing from this morning. Remember, revival is about personal revival. I'm glad that everyone has come today, and revival looks different to different people, but I will say this, is that prayerfully that you have, like I said this morning, draw that circle around yourself and say, "Lord, is it I? Do I need revival? What do I need?" You know, it's not a matter of wives. You thinking, boy, my husband could use revival. Right? Or the husband say, "My wife, if you only knew what I'm doing, my wife needs revival." Or maybe it's that roommate. All right, college students, I'd say that roommate, he definitely needs prayer and revival. I was in college. I know some of them definitely needed it. But we need to look in the mirror and say, "Lord, is it I?" And really, we need to look into what? The mirror of the Word. It's going to show us some things about ourselves. And so tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us with some truths that we can flesh out, and that'll help us to keep on keeping on for Jesus. That's what we need today. That's what the world needs. And so, as best as I can this evening, I want us to look at the ingredients of revival.
Just like anything that you're cooking up in the kitchen or making or baking or whatever the case is, it's really imperative that you have the right ingredients. You definitely don't want to substitute sugar for salt. They may look alike, but they definitely are not the same. And so I want us to look as best I can there. Luke chapter 24, I just want to give us, I believe, like four ingredients to revival tonight. Some of them are going to be pleasant, some are going to be not so pleasant. And actually, we're going to start out of the gate with the not so pleasant ingredient. And so let's look at verse 25, if you will, there in Luke 24. Now, we have, of course, I'm jumping through some things here, and we see that these disciples, Emmaus disciples, are walking from Jerusalem 7 miles, heading back, and we find that the Lord Jesus Christ appears to them. They're talking with each other. We even have one of them named Cleopas, and in the way that they're talking here, you can see a lot of despair. You can see some discouragement. You also will just see a lot of, some doubt. Can you not hear it when you read this account? These fellows were struggling, and my conclusion is that these fellows needed revival. They just had some amazing things happen there in Jerusalem, and they soon forgot all that Jesus Christ had done. And Jesus, on the only way he can, he shows up and totally helped these fellows and to help them get revived. A lot of us will attend a revival service thinking that it's going to be a lot of hype and excitement, and that's all well and good, but a lot of people come for the hype, but they don't come for help. You with me? They will come because they like the atmosphere. And who doesn't like it? I enjoyed Wonderful Grace of Jesus. I've led that song from the pulpit and leading congregations. It's not often I get to sit down there and I get to sing it with the rest of you. Boy, thank God for his grace. And it is wonderful grace. But I tell you what, if you came in here for anything other than some help from the Holy Spirit, you are done wasted your time. And it's not trying to get help from the preacher, but to get help from Jesus. That's what these fellows needed, wasn't it? They didn't need to come and have somebody give them a little pep talk and say, oh, come on, fellas, you can do it. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can do this. Believe in yourself. By the way, never trust your heart. Amen. Jesus comes along, and he's going to try to help these two fellows. They were definitely struggling in their faith. And we'd say, oh, those dirty rascals, how could they struggle in their faith? Let me tell you something. Let's not be so hard on them. Have you been there? You struggled in your faith? This preacher raises his hand. I know I struggle in my faith at times. You say, but you're the preacher. You're not supposed to struggle in your faith. Boy, I deal with the same flesh that you do. And sometimes have those things creep up and want me, and the devil wants me to doubt the goodness of God and his promises. Boy, can you hear their loss of hope in who Jesus said he was? When we look at verse 25, let's go ahead and go there. Christ is speaking with them, and they're going through, and they're having this discussion. I really want to focus here in verse 25 to the Lord's response. He says this, then he, Christ, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Let me give you the first ingredient to revival, and it is called reproof. Now, this does not make for popular preaching, does it? Reproof. Reproof. What is reproof? Reproof is essentially telling what is wrong. Matter of fact, most of you Bible college students probably are most familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Boy, it's in there, isn't it? It's right there. The scripture is the one who tells us what is wrong, where we are lacking, what we should be doing that we're not, what we are doing that we shouldn't, the sins of commission and omission, right? Listen, the scriptures tell us what is wrong. Jesus, the living word, is telling these fellas, he says, listen, guys, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. Let me help you with something. Listen, I don't know anybody in here that love to be told that they are wrong. I don't like to be told I'm wrong about anything. I don't know many people that are. He said, that's pride. Yeah, I probably reckon most of us probably struggle with that. I remember in Bible college, boy, you'd have those nice theological late night discussions, and you're trying to prove that you're right, and that fellow over there is wrong, and boy, that was just, the great thing about it was I didn't really get in that much because I was, I'm just going to say it, I was a bit more mature. Like I said, I was grandpa. I was 28. I didn't have time for all that. I had to go study because I knew my memory was bad, and I needed to study a little harder than you guys that have great memories, and I didn't have time for all that kind of stuff. I just knew this, is that I knew that there are times when I am wrong, and these fellows were wrong. See, when Jesus comes in and said, oh, fools, we usually look at that and we're thinking, oh, that was harsh. That was a harsh thing. Listen, I think the Lord could reproof in only the way, reprove the only way that he could. I believe it was a gentle reproof. I don't think they were calling him a bunch of fools. Now, listen, by the way, growing up, calling somebody a fool was never a good thing. You get in a lot of trouble for saying somebody was a fool. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying you are lacking understanding in your faith in what the prophets have spoken. Where's your faith? How many times did he tell those disciples? Where is your faith? But he calls them, he says, fools. This is not an insult. It's not an insult at all. Listen, I am not one to shy away from getting my toes stepped on when I need it by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I know there are times that I need it. And it's what's crazy. Sometimes I'll be preaching, and I'll step on my own toes. I'm like, oh, goodness gracious, what did I just do, right? Listen, there are times you need a healthy dose of reproof. They did. If you and I are going to have, listen, if we're going to have an ingredient or have revival, we've got to have that reproof. There are just sometimes we got to be told what is wrong. As a parent, one of the hardest things for me to do and the thing I don't like to do is discipline. I know I have to do it, but it's one thing I least enjoy is reproving and disciplining my kids and tell them they're wrong. But I know that it's needed because it helps them to see the errors of their ways. By the way, you have some errors too in your ways. Maybe you've had them this week. Maybe today, maybe before you even came in tonight. Hello? And there's something. You know there's something that you're wrong about. Maybe you spoke out of sorts with somebody. You were not gentle and kind, or maybe you said something off color and you didn't make that thing right. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you with that. Take that gentle reproof from the Holy Spirit. Listen, this whole week, I don't know, I just came in today. I'm at the tail end of it, but I'm guessing that some of you could attest and testify that, hey, my toes have gotten stepped on this week, and I've gotten some healthy dose of reproof because there's some areas that I've been wrong in, and that's a good thing. It is not a bad thing. See, did you come into this week asking the Lord, I mentioned this morning, to show you if you're going the wrong way in any area of your life, or you're looking at something in the wrong way in your life, and you need a different vision, you need a different look at things. And listen, God's been using the preaching this week to open your eyes to the truth that, hey, look at this, you're wrong in this area. What are you going to do about it? That's the question. Listen, if you can't get past this first ingredient, you might as well not go any further. Because you've got to make sure you're willing for the Holy Spirit to show you and reveal to you what is wrong in your life. It takes a healthy dose of reproof. Listen, hopefully I'm not the only one in here. I am a control freak. Any other control freaks in this place? Okay, I see a couple of you that are honest with the Lord. The rest of you need to get right with God and admit and get to the altar. Anyway, I am a control freak. I tell my church that all the time. When we drive anywhere as a family, guess who's going to drive? I am. My son's got his license. He can drive, but I'm going to drive because I'm a control freak and so forth. But I tell you what, if I'm driving down the road, down the interstate, and I am going the wrong way, because maybe, I don't know, anybody else have the looky-loos when you drive? Anybody else guilty of that other than me? Okay, good. Thank you. There's some honest people with the Lord right there. I drive, and, you know, everyone's doing their thing. I'm looking at, you know, we were on our way up last night, and we saw some pretty amazing storms in the distance. So I'm driving. I shouldn't be, but I don't know how I do it. The Lord's been good. I'll be looking at, I say, hey, look at that, you know, and I'm driving, and I'm, oh, did you see that? And I get distracted. Listen, I get distracted, and I will take a wrong turn, or I will miss my turn altogether. You know what would be nice if somebody told me I was going the wrong direction? I would not be upset if my wife looked at me and said, honey, you just missed your turn. You know, at first I would be, my pride would be shot. I'd be like, oh, I can't believe I did that to myself. You know, but I would like to be told I'm going the wrong direction. Are you that willing when it comes to Jesus telling you're going in the wrong direction? Are you willing to take that correction? Are you willing to take that from the Holy Spirit, putting that thing, whatever that thing is on your life? Hey, you know that's wrong. What are you going to do about it? We need the first ingredient to be reproof. Reproof. I would guess to say that one of the, we like to talk about different qualities are better than others, but I think one of the qualities we need the most is to be able to accept reproof. Your flesh, your ego hates it, but boy, how we need it. We need to be able to, listen, if at the end of this service, you know, Pastor Parsons comes up to me, he pulls me aside over here in one of the rooms or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. He said, preacher, you were wrong about this. How am I going to respond to that? I would hope I'd say, yes, sir, you know what? You're right about that, and I was wrong. You know people that don't like to admit to be wrong? There's pride. There's so much pride. Listen, you cannot have revival, neither can I, in my life if there is an ounce of pride that is hindering me from hearing from the Holy Spirit, putting some on my life by way of reproof. And essentially, what is the Lord going on to say? Let's just move on. He says, oh, fools. And he says here, but slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart to believe. Boy, when you and I are wrong in our walk with Christ in any way, we've got to repent. By the way, repentance isn't just for those who are lost and need to be saved. Repentance is something that takes place probably every day in the life of every believer. Because when you sin, you must repent. You confess, forsake, repent. Have a change of mind and a change of direction in accepting that reproof. So what happened? These disciples, they needed to have a change of mind, because their thinking was all wrong. As you look at this, matter of fact, let's go ahead and look real quick at this. In verse 18, Christ, of course, in 17, asks them, you know, why you, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? That, when I read that, I'm like, that seems so condescending. They're as if they're telling Jesus, man, haven't you been paying attention to what's going on? Have you had your head in the sand, man? Yeah, that's why I see it. So I can sense already a little tension in their voices, like frustration. Don't you know what's going on? And it's the Son of God. He knows everything. Amen. And then he goes on, and then it says, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And look at verse 21. But we trusted, past tense. I underlined the letters ED in there. Boy, there's the doubt. Well, we trusted. We did. But, and they go on to say that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now we know that those Jews at that time, they were looking for the Messiah to come set up his earthly kingdom. That's they had a hard time getting past that, didn't they? They did. And I dare not fault them for that, because we just as earthly and fleshly like they are sometimes on this earth. But they said that. They said he should have been the one that redeemed Israel. And beside all this, they said, today is the third day since all these things were done. And then they go, they're not done complaining, are they? What are they going to say? Well, yea, and certain, of course, they had to talk about the ladies, right? Had to bring the ladies into it. The woman made me do it. They said, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished or amazed, which were early at the sepulcher, And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Boy, these fellows were slow to believe, weren't they? They struggled in their faith. You know, if I saw two fellows that needed revival, it was these two guys. And he called it, and then he goes on to say, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Are you there tonight? Are you slow of heart to believe what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is able to do? If we, any of us from the pulpit to the pew, we are slow of heart to believe, we got to repent of that. Jesus came along, and he's trying to help these fellas. He's trying to help them. So reproof is the first needed ingredient of revival. And by the way, if we cannot take reproof from the preaching of God's word, that's a definite indicator that revival is needed. And it's about the message, not the messenger. Amen. Boy, if you're resistant, you're a prime candidate for revival in your own heart. What's the first ingredient? Reproof. What's the second one? Look at verse 27. So then, now, we got to continue verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Christ speaking of himself. And verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The second thing we're going to see is revelation. That's the second thing that is needed for revival, not just for proof, but also revelation. Can you imagine this sermon? Can you imagine? They're on their way. They left Jerusalem, and they are on their way to the village of Emmaus. It's about a 7-mile trip. Now, I don't know at what point Jesus met them, but I do know this. Jesus is walking along with them, and boy, from beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures. This reminds me of something amazing I got to witness. Now, regardless of what you think about the man I'm going to mention, I'd like you to try to get the story from it. When I was in Tallahassee, that's where I was before going to Okeechobee. I was assistant pastor there. And my nephew was coming down from Ohio, and they were going to the coast for a trip. And he is a big Florida State fan, and it's all because of Bobby Bowden. And so he was coming down, and there's a lady in our church, Aunt Jean, and she was besties with Bobby Bowden's wife. Pretty amazing. Well, through the course of events, she gave me Bobby Bowden's phone number. And I'm like, okay. So I call up Bobby Bowden. I got his number. Let's just see what happens. I call Bobby Bowden, and he answers the phone, and I tell him what I'm doing. I say, hey, I said, you know, I'm good friends with Aunt Jean. Good, you know, I'm trying to make connections. And I said, my nephew's coming down. And, boy, it would just tickle him pink if he could meet you. You know, it's like one of his heroes of his life. And Bobby's like, you know what? I would be happy to on one condition. If he'll sit down and let me share Jesus Christ with him. I said, amen. That's what I said, amen. We'll make that thing happen. So he drove all, I think it was, I can't remember if they were in Panama City. He drove to Tallahassee. We're walking through and looking at all the champion, well, what few championship trophies they have. But anyway, we're looking through and all that and having a good time. But then it came time for us to go. So I got his address. He lives in Killarn, lived in Killarn area and so forth. So we drive over there and beautiful home, circle driveway. So we pull on in. And I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen here. Because, you know, I've witnessed to my nephew before. Now, mind you, he is a grown man. He's in his 20s. And so we knock on the door, walk in, and boy, you walk in, it's like white carpet. White. I took my shoes off. I'm like, I'm not going to leave my dirt on this carpet. So we walk in, and he meets us up there at the door and then takes us over to the side room, and there's a couch, like a little parlor area. And we sit down, and I give introductions. And then next thing I know, here's Bobby Bowden, and he is preaching Jesus. I'm serious, like from Genesis to Revelation. He just let him have it for half an hour. I'm sitting there thinking, is this really happening? Because I have heard stories. I mean, Bobby Bowden led Mark Richt to the Lord, I believe, when he was working with him. And all those things, I've heard all these things about Bobby Bowden's faith, and I got to see it with my own eyes. It was really amazing. And so he goes through the whole thing, the plan of salvation. My nephew did not get saved, and I'm just like, what is wrong with you, man? He just loaded it and gave it to you. How can you not want Jesus? And so we went through that whole situation. You say, what's the point? What is the whole point of that illustration? It's this, is that he knew, Bobby Bowden knew, that what Aaron needed was God's revelation. That's what he needed. He could have cared less about getting him an autograph, because it wasn't about Bobby Bowden. It was about Jesus. See, these two fellas, they got loaded. Their buckets got loaded. I would have loved to have been kind of cruising along with them and hearing that precious sermon from the Lord. You see, revelation is that second ingredient of revival. And when I talk about revelation, I'm talking about the Word of God. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Amen. This blessed old book. That's what is needed for that second ingredient of revival. It is the Word of God. He expounded, he explained thoroughly to these two men to give them some clarity, because they were in the depths of despair, and it was only the Word of God from Jesus Christ himself that could help them get some clarity. That's what we need today, church. We need clarity. There is no revival without this book, amen? The book of books, the blessed old book of God. The Word of God, or the work of God, is accomplished by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Listen, what we don't need for revival is psychology. We need bibliology, amen? Boy, we don't need to hear a bunch of psychobabble. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said, if we were but more conversant with the Scripture and the divine counsels as far as they are made known in the Scripture, we would or should not be subject to such perplexities as we often entangle ourselves in. Conversant with the Scriptures, what saith the Lord? That's that second ingredient. Get into the book. Get into the precious Word of God. You want revival? You say, yes, I want revival. Well, I'm glad we're having this good singing and good fellowship, but get into the precious Bible, and you'll find that you'll get some help. If you came for help from the Holy Spirit of God, listen, I can't help you, but I do know that Jesus can through his Word. Jesus Christ is the best expositor of Scripture. And the Word of God, by the way, if you guys haven't learned this, and ladies, that the Word of God is its own best commentary. Now listen, I've got commentaries in my office. I love reading commentaries. I have an addiction, and that is called etymology. I love the origin of words. I love defining words and things like that. But I tell you what, the truth of the matter is that what I need to do is hear more from the Word and what God has for me. I'll give you this. I'll just give you a few things from, I remember when I was in Bible college, there were certain things that our dean, Dr. Crowley, would say. He would say this about context. He said, context is king, principle is queen, and the queen can't rule until she kills off the king. You say, what does that mean? Don't you be dabbling more so in principle than context. You will get yourself in a world of hurt. Because what people like to do, they like to pull this one verse out of context to form a doctrine or a belief. And a lot of people also will hang their hat more on principles than what? The context and the truth of God's Word. Be careful of that. I've encountered people like that. They love their principles. And principles have their place. But don't lose the context. See, here it says that Jesus expounded the Word to them. I am a fan of expository preaching. I have a hard time doing topical preaching, Pastor. I find that there are times that I've kind of forced it and I flopped. I'm not joking. I feel like, oh, you know, it's one of those passages, oh, people could really use this, you know, and that topic, whatever the case is. And man, it was, nobody responded. So the Lord taught me through that. I was wrong, okay? I took that reproof from the Lord. But Jesus expounded it to these guys, expounded the Word of God himself. Listen, we need reproof. We also need revelation. But let me give you the third thing. Look at verse 28. I'm going to move as quick as I can. Verse 28. It says, and they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed, and brake, and gave to them. The third ingredient that I see is continuation. We not only see the reproof, but we see revelation, but then we also see continuation. So they're talking with Jesus. Jesus is talking with them. Jesus, as if showing as if he would have continued on, and said, no. They said, listen, we want you to hang out with us some more. You know what happened? They were won by the Word of God. It's like they were hearing what was being said, and they're like, that's it. We want more. Lord, we want you to continue with us. Well, of course, they didn't know it was the Lord. All right? They wanted this stranger to continue with them because they just didn't get enough. They wanted more. It caused something to stir within them, and they wanted more. You know, I was thinking about this morning about Josiah. Remember it said when he heard, he rent his clothes. And then he didn't stop there because then he turned around and inquired of the Lord. And then after that, he wanted more. Then he gets the book of the law and he reads it to the people. It was a continuation. He wasn't just content. Oh, wow, that sounds kind of nice. You know, I'm going to rent my clothes and that's about it. Let everybody see how spiritual I am. You know, no, he kept on going. So many of us stop short. We do. We stop short. We hear it. We get a few tears in our eyes, and then we walk out the doors no different than we came in. No intent on continuing with the Lord. Boy, I wonder how many of us are going to go, say these, you know, young men going to go back to your dorm, and you look at the scripture yourself. By the way, that's what we should do, right? Don't take this preacher's word for it. Look at it yourself. Continue in the Word. Get more of it. It's been said that the more we receive the Word of God, the more we will want to fellowship with the God of the Word. So is His Word doing the same to us? Have you ever had times that you are having your daily Bible reading? Yes, I didn't say weekly, I said daily. I hit that one hard in our home church. So I'm like, don't you dare rely on Sundays and Wednesdays to get your food. Listen, I wouldn't dream of only eating twice a day, or twice a week, rather. I probably eat twice a day, probably shouldn't. I say, listen, you got to get in the Word daily. Do you find that when you read it, that you have a hard time putting it down? I mean, when you read these verses, you're like, oh, Lord, that's good. That's good. Let me see. In reading, let's transition over to studying. By the way, studying is not just for these preacher boys. Every single born-again believer in Jesus Christ ought to be studying to show yourself approved unto God. You study the Word for yourself, okay? You get in it. But I digress. You get in the Word, and you're about to finish up, and you're just like, you just can't shut it. You're like, I'm not done yet. I want some more. Boy, that's what should happen. If you're going to have revival, you got to have some continuation. You got to have, look, Lord, it's like, Lord, won't you come hang out? Let's hang together some more. I'm not done yet. I want to hear more from your Word. Boy, do you have those moments? Hopefully you do. Hopefully I do. Boy, what's that hymn? More about Jesus, would I know. More of His grace, the others show. That's why we're here today, by the way. Yeah, we're here to know more about Jesus. That's what the purpose is. I know you say, what's revival? I believe the more you know about Jesus, the more you'll want revival. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I heard it, Brother Gentry this morning in, was it Christian Evidences? I enjoyed his class this morning. He said this. He's like, I believe in KISS. KISS. And I've heard it. Keep it simple, stupid. He said that this morning. I'm like, amen, I'm that way. I'm keeping it simple. This stupid here is keeping it simple as best I can. I believe it is simple. It is not complicated, but we sure do make it complicated, don't we? Have you ever had times when you'll pillow your head at night? Now, this may be extreme. You may think I'm off my rocker. But you pillow your head tonight, and what you're thinking about is, boy, I can't wait to get up in the morning and do my God time. I can't wait to see what God has for me in His Word tomorrow morning. Do you have that tonight? Examine your own heart. Examine your heart tonight. You say, well, that's just ridiculous. It shouldn't be. It should be one of those things where, like, boy, I can't wait to see Jesus again. I can't wait to look in the Word of God. And by the way, cover to cover, He's there. Are you looking forward to it? Or is it a drudgery? Oh, man, if I don't do it. No, we ought to have that eagerness, that desire to know Him. Now, I want to hit verse 28. I'm sorry. No one gave me a time to quit tonight, and I can't see that clock tonight. So I'm just going to, we'll just see what happens. No, I'll be done soon. I like verse 29. This here is very revealing to the continuation, because in verse 29, what does he say? But they, what's the next word? That is extremely interesting to me. They constrained him. That word constrained means to compel. Listen, think about this for a second. You're walking along. They don't know it's Jesus, obviously, but this stranger is giving them some biblical truths from Moses and the prophets, and all of a sudden, they're compelling, and they don't even know, they're compelling the Son of God. How many people did that to him in his life? Think about that. They are compelling him to stay with them. Boy, I see that desire, and I just have a sinking suspicion that the Lord was pleased with it. They're compelling him. He's going to go. It's like, no, oh, come on, let's fellowship some more. And I have a strange way of thinking about things, but I reckon maybe he had a little grin in his face they didn't see, and he was pleased with that. That they wanted him to stay with them. They compelled him to keep walking with them and to bring Jesus to where their home was, to where they dwelt, because it was important to them. They couldn't get enough. They couldn't, and they wanted that continuation. Listen, I don't want you to raise your hands when I ask you this question. I got two questions. But I'll ask you this. How many of you are thankful revival services are finishing tomorrow morning? Do not answer me and do not raise your hands. How many of you are thankful? Boy, it's been a long week. I can't wait till this thing ends. Well, there's a good chance that you're a prime candidate for revival if you think that way. I know some of y'all had a very busy week. I mean, you're busy and you're going to work and the students going through classes and work and everything else, and you're just like, oh, I can't wait till revival's over. Or how many of you are sad that it's coming to an end? Boy, that really will be revealing your heart tonight. You know, the truth is that we are fellowshipping around the Word of God. You know that? By the way, this is the common denominator of why we are here tonight. This because we believe that the Word of God is true. It is God's truth. And we are fellowshipping around this truth tonight. So the question I have here in this third point, when we finish tonight, will you continue with Jesus after the last amen? I mean, when you leave this place, when you go back to your dorm, when you go back to your home, will your thoughts just be consumed with Christ? Will you look forward to getting home and pulling out your Bible and pulling out your Bible app or whatever and doing your Bible study? Maybe you've missed it today, and maybe you've gotten a little revived. You're like, I want to continue with Jesus. I pray that you'll do that tonight. So the last ingredient, revival is continuation. And I will share this, is that we love having revival services and the good singing and so forth, But you know what? Where the real battle takes place is when it's all said and done. When you go home, and when you go wherever you go, that's when the devil really will get on you. Boy, you better, people say you pray before the battle, you pray during it. Sometimes we forget to pray after the battle. This is a battle, by the way. Satan absolutely hates what you are trying to do this week. He absolutely hates it. And you, listen, you got a target on you. So don't you dare let the foot off the pedal, amen? You continue with Jesus. And you just keep on praying and seeking the Lord and bringing him into your life and compelling Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I'm not done yet. I want more. Lastly, let me give you the last one. I got to close. In verse 31, here it says, now, of course, verse 30, it came to pass, he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And then look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. The last ingredient is conviction. Listen, as I look at this and I see that phrase, did not our heart burn within us, that means it was set on fire. It was set on fire. This was not indigestion. Okay? This was not indigestion. I don't know. I know it doesn't say it, but I reckon that this was Holy Spirit conviction. Did not our hearts burn within us? When he, what? While he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Listen, I'm far removed from Bible college, and I try to be the best Bible student that I can in my studies. But and y'all can correct me if you see it and I don't. But I don't see in the scripture where the words convict or conviction are used in scripture. I don't see that, but we use that word a lot, do we not? You knew you were convicted, or there's conviction. That word conviction it means the act, thanks to Noah Webster, 1828, amen. The act of convincing of error, confutation, the act of compelling, interesting, one to knowledge or acknowledge his error, or the truth of what is alleged. This reminds me when Paul was preaching to Felix, and then when he reasoned to him of righteousness and judgment and sin and all that, and I got them out of order, that it says that Felix did what? He trembled. I believe that was Holy Spirit conviction. Paul was giving him the word, and there was that Holy Spirit conviction. Listen, we like to think that conviction is only for the lost. Well, boy, you know, those who aren't saved, they need the conviction of the Holy Spirit to show them their need, and that's absolutely true. Amen. I'll tell you, you name the name of Christ, you need it as well, and so do I. I need it when I have done wrong. I need the Holy Spirit to convict me and show me where I am wrong about maybe something that, like I said, what I'm doing, what I shouldn't do, and so forth. Maybe our hearts just need to be stirred in regards to maybe our sins or maybe about service. These fellows here, they had heartburn. They had heartburn. There was conviction. Notice when the conviction came. And this goes back to the third point. While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scripture, listen, they were stirred and they were awakened by the truths of Christ. That's when conviction took place. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of people don't like to do their Bible reading because they know that it's going to reveal some things about them that they are not going to want to admit or acknowledge. Remember the Word of God there in James says it's a mirror. Shows us who we are, really are in God's sight. Oh, boy, how we need it today. How we need it today, church. So what happened? They responded. Once their eyes were open, and more than likely, I have a inkling that they ran back to Jerusalem. Maybe when they had left Jerusalem on the way to the village of Emmaus, maybe they're just taking a nice stroll, just taking it easy, getting their steps in for the day. But boy, I have a feeling that when that all went down and Jesus disappeared. He broke the bread, blessed, gave it to him. He vanished out of their sight. they, you know, did not our hearts burn within us? Like, oh, we can't keep this to ourselves. We got to go back to Jerusalem. So, man, I have a feeling they sprinted back 7 miles back to Jerusalem. Why? That they may share what they had learned, that Christ fulfilled everything that they had doubted before. Jesus showed up, and it totally changed these guys, and they got revival. Listen, all this stuff, it was not far removed from all that had happened with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, right? And all the things that transpired there. These fellows were down, and they needed revived. Listen, in conclusion, like any good recipe, you need the right ingredients to make it palatable, and profitable. We see reproof. We see revelation, continuation, and conviction. So I guess the question is, what are you going to do about all that you have heard this past week? What are you going to do with the knowledge that Christ has given you this past week? Are you just going to sit on it? Or, here's the other option, are you going to work it out? And it's really up to you. Listen, I have not had any personal dealings or interaction till today really with Landmark Baptist Church, the college, and so forth. I've known a Mickey Carter for decades. But I reckon to say that I believe that y'all could probably enjoy some revival here, wouldn't you? I know this pastor desires it. He desires revival, not for the sake of he can boast and brag about what y'all are doing, but to be able to lift up Jesus Christ, see what Christ is doing. So do you really, I like that chorus, do you really want revival? Do you really want revival? And only you can answer that. And after the last amen is really going to be the litmus test of whether you truly want that revival. Listen, if you're here today, and you're lost without Christ, and you say, well, preacher, come on. I mean, we're talking about Bible college students and the faithful, the cream of the crop of the church. Why are you even going to bother bringing up people that are lost? I never assume everybody's saved. If you are here tonight and you say, preacher, I can't say 100% sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, I can think of no better time to get that thing right tonight. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe what Jesus did for you. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Put your faith and trust on the finished work of Christ. Call on Christ and ask him to be your Savior. Someone will take the Bible. I think we got plenty of Bibles in this place. Amen? You say, oh, preacher, come on. Listen, you can't be revived. We heard it this morning, Brother James, I believe during the invitation, had talked about this to the students. You're dead. You can't be revived. Listen, you need to be saved tonight if you're not saved. But I tell you what, Christian, you know Christ, and you say, preacher, I know I'm not where I need to be. I know that I need revival. I know that, I'm just failing miserably. You can deal with that tonight. I believe we're going to have an invitation here in a few minutes. And now I'll be quick with one last thing. I want to share something with you, my testimony, how Jesus dealt with me. I remember it was on a Sunday morning. I was at Bible Baptist Church. Rick Carter was the pastor over there in Gulfport, Mississippi. And I was 20, at the time I was 25 years old. And I remember going through the preaching, and I remember standing there during the invitation, and I'm holding on to that pew, and I'm shaking like a leaf. And there's some other things that led up to this, but I'm shaking like a leaf, and I knew I needed to go forward and get saved. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit conviction on my life. I remember stepping out, and I just got tired of worrying about what everyone else was going to think. So I just stepped out, and I went forward. And I remember a gray-haired deacon taking the Word of God at the altar, and he led me to Christ. That was 28 years ago, and I haven't looked back. Listen, if you're not saved, make tonight that day. If you are saved, maybe you just need to be like, listen, I got to repent. I got to get back on track. Now's the time to do it. Amen. Let's all stand together, and I'll just have a word of prayer, and I'll let the fellas, let pastor, somebody handle the invitation. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and grace. I thank you for your word. Oh, God, you've given us some truths tonight. I pray will help us to desire Jesus more, to desire revival. I pray, oh, God, tonight, the Holy Spirit, you would work in a great way this evening. It's got to be you that does the work. It's not man-made. It can't be worked up. It's got to be you. I pray tonight that you'd have your will and way and that you would bring revival to this campus, to this church, to the college, the school, and that, God, we see a great moving of the Holy Spirit in the lives of everyone here within this place tonight. Please have your will and way tonight, and we'd especially pray for the one that might be lost without Jesus. They would have the courage to step out and have someone lead them to you. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.